Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at action247.com. Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Big game in Memphis tomorrow. Tigers going to crack at an SEC opponent, Mississippi State, inside the Liberty Bowl. Kirk Morrison, longtime Oakland Raider linebacker, going to be on the call for ESPN2, and he joins us now. Kirk, what's happening, man? Everything good?
Hey, everything is good. How are we doing this morning?
Everything is good.
Pretty
here
good,
in Memphis.
Brother.
So, you know, it's a different time, right? Things have changed in the last, 12 to 18 to 24 months. And, sometimes I know broadcasters, they do it remotely. Sometimes they come in. Are you coming in to Memphis to call it live?
Oh, brother, I'm already here, man. I'm already here.
All right.
Excited to be here. My first trip to the Liberty Bowl coming up. So I'm excited to be here. That's one thing that I did miss, is that pageantry of college football last year. I didn't do it enough. I did travel to a couple, probably half the games, and we did half at home just because different conferences had different mandates. But I'll tell you this, I'm excited to be back in these, back in the booth again this season. It's been great so far with the games I've had already.
Absolutely. Good to hear that. Before we get into the game and the rest of college football, man, I got to ask you because, I'm a Raider fan. I've been with them since, 2002, since I was 11 years old. I know you're an Oakland guy. To see them get that win, I know the franchise has moved, but it's still the soul, right? Still the franchise. What did that mean for that franchise, and what'd you think of the way it all went down on Monday night?
It was huge. It was big. Like you mentioned, I'm from Oakland, California, so it stung a little bit because I have so many memories of watching the silver and black inside of the Coliseum there in Oakland. But moving to Las Vegas, you understand, and I understood that one thing in particular is that the Raider brand is not just a local brand; it is a global brand, and to be able to descend to Las Vegas for a game, an event, man, that it's special. And I can tell you, by all the flights that were delayed coming in because everyone was coming at the same time on Monday night. But I'll tell you, Allegiant Stadium was beautiful. It is one of the premier stadiums in all of the world, not just in the country or in the NFL. And that win really, to me, just shows, hey, how this thing can be in Las Vegas for the Raiders, how it can be if they continue to trust the process. It's been a tough one under Gruden so far, but you hope that things will get better. But, to beat a team like Baltimore, that's a big win, especially on Monday night in front of a national audience.
I got to ask you, did that loss for Baltimore change any way you felt about them before the season and maybe what they can do this season at all? I know it's one game, Kirk, but what'd you see with Baltimore? Like some issues.
Well, what I see is that they need to hurry up and pay Lamar Jackson right now. Just cut him the check. Give him the whatever he needs. You give it to him, right? Because he deserves one of the biggest contracts in NFL history. We saw Josh Allen, who was also drafted in his same draft class by the Buffalo Bills, get his extension. Because what I saw Monday night is, look, this team is nothing without Lamar Jackson.
That's true.
And to tell me that they literally are grabbing running backs off the street, like, hey, can you play running back? Come on, come join us. I mean, that's what they're piecing together in Baltimore, and yet, I mean, they should have kind of won that game Monday night, but it's really been on the shoulders of Lamar Jackson, and I kind of put them right where I expect them to be at. They're going to be a tough out regardless, and in a crowded AFC North, you know, with Cleveland now, we see Pittsburgh,
yep.
And then, look, Cincinnati won. So, man, it's going to be fun, but, man, it's going to be tough, you know, as they get their running back situation together in Baltimore.
We are, of course, talking to Kirk Morrison. He's going to be on the call for Memphis, Mississippi State tomorrow, 3 o'clock on ESPN2. You're a San Diego State guy, so you know what these opportunities mean. When you get the crack at a Power 5 school at your place, they don't come around often. Does Memphis sort of have, you know, the artillery? Do they have what they need to be able to pull this off in Memphis?
Well, I tell you this, I do carry the torch for the Group of Five. I'm always a Group of Five supporter, so you know, I'm always pulling for the Group of Five, and you know, in my heart, always. And I think it really starts with what Memphis does have, is they have a belief, right? Like, they really have a belief and a confidence that this isn't something that we haven't done before. Like, you come to Memphis and you realize that this is a different brand of football that we play, in terms of we're not scared of anybody, we'll play anybody, and we feel like we have the guys who can do it and get the job done, regardless of if we have a freshman quarterback or a freshman running back. It doesn't matter. You put us on the field against anybody, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, we feel like we can take care of business. And honestly, that's where it starts and that's where it should be. A lot of teams come in and you're just like, hey, we hope we can win. I've never got the sense of when I see Memphis play or even talking to the coaching staff that they come in hoping to win. They go in expecting to take care of business, and that's how you have to start it.
Is it a big enough brand yet, you think, Kirk, or they got more work to do? I mean, obviously the Big 12 didn't want them this time around. You're taking Cincy, Houston, and UCF, and everybody in Memphis is hoping that you can be on that next train, right? Whenever it does take, right. If it's for the Big 12 reopening, whatever it is that Memphis can. Is it enough of a brand at this point, what you've seen now, for everything that you just laid out last 5 or 6 years, that you feel like it can be sort of, whether it's with Boise State or whatever, that next one in? Is it strong enough, you think?
I think so. I mean, honestly, UCF is really – only truly, I think, been a football brand in really almost the same timeline as Memphis.
Without
honestly.
Question.
And so, kind of, how did they get to step up over Memphis? I mean, I know that, you know, we're going to get a couple guys this weekend, like Imani Bates and Jalen Duran, who are, you know, on the basketball side. And so, I look at Memphis as a brand, not only football, but also basketball. They would really attract me as a team or a program that can contend with Kansas and hoop, right? You know what I mean? And football will be a place that it's going to be a tough out regardless. It's going to be a fun and entertaining matchup. That's what we really want, right? We want entertaining, fun matchups in college football. I think Memphis presents that. So for me, I'm still kind of shocked that they didn't get the invite to the Big 12. Could it still be out there? Could it still be looming? Mm-hmm. I think possible. But I know what a win over Mississippi State tomorrow would do would go a long way.
Right.
For that opportunity to come about.
Are you gonna? I mean, it almost sounds like you're gonna have Imani and Jalen in the booth. Are they gonna make an appearance up there?
I mean, I hope so. I mean, I'm just a fan as well. You know, watching those guys in high school, I've been a big Imani Bates fan since he was a freshman. Because I was like, who is this kid? It looks like Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? So I was, you know, I've been a big fan of theirs. So just to meet those guys would be great. And like I said, it puts the brand, it puts the spotlight on Memphis. Just not. The basketball program, but the entire, you know, Memphis community, the basketball, football, and I think it does take on a brighter light. That if I'm the college, you know, realignment committees of the Big 12 and other conferences, I definitely take a look at what Memphis has going on.
You know, it's been a fascinating year in Memphis because they brought in Grant Gunnell, they brought in the Arizona transfer. I think with full expectations that because he had Division I experience, mm-hmm. he was going to come in and he was going to take that job. That has not happened. He got hurt. Then there's this true freshman young man, Seth Hennigan, who, you know, took advantage and maximized his opportunity. And now, I mean, look, he had 5 touchdowns last week against Arkansas State. He does not look like a true freshman. Do you think this is a deal, Kirk, where if he comes out on Saturday and has a decent game against Mississippi State, an SEC opponent, that, you know, this job becomes his for the foreseeable future and maybe forever?
If he loses his job, it'll be an upset. I mean, he's shown me in just the first two games of the season that he's the guy. And you think about I was kind of putting that together in my notes. When you think about the prior quarterbacks, right, where we're talking about Brady White, Riley Ferguson, Paxton Lynch, I mean, this is the first guy that really people in Memphis can wrap their arms around and continue to watch him grow for years to come, right? And so I kind of like that approach because you're going to grow within the offense, get better and better. You're going to take some lumps and bumps as a true freshman, but he's going to be your guy. He wants to be here. And I think for me, that tells me a lot more just because, like, for years to come, like, you don't have to worry about the carousel of the quarterback position. That's the one thing I see each and every week. I'm like, oh, this is such and such grad transfer. Here's another transfer. And so guys are learning the offense, you know, in 1 year, having to go out there and produce. Where I felt like Seth Hennigan is not only learning the offense, he's playing well. How could you take the guy leading the number one offense in the country and say, hey, you're probably not going to start? No. This is his job. I don't see him losing it, but I also see great things ahead for him, I think, within this offense as he grows.
If you are Mike Leach in Mississippi State, right, and you got Ole Miss and everybody's excited about what Lane Kiffin is doing and that offense is putting up points and Lord knows right. It's about what that other Mississippi school is doing for Mississippi State, you can't afford to lose here this week at Memphis, right, especially not with LSU and Texas A&M and the you know, Alabama after that and the gamut that is. There's pressure on Mississippi. You can't drop this game if you're an SEC team, even Mississippi State, can you?
No, not at all. I mean, you can't drop any games, honestly. But mm-hmm. when you think about this one in particular, like you mentioned, against Memphis, yeah, this is one that you have to have, right? Because you start thinking about, like you mentioned, you look at their schedule, Mississippi State, and you got to really start to look at where the wins may come from. Right. Obviously, they have Vanderbilt on the schedule, but other than that, they got Tennessee State later on as well. So a couple wins in there, but the rest of them, I mean, come on, man. These are coin flips. You mentioned the LSU, Texas A&M, Alabama, that's their next three games right after this game against Memphis. So, yeah, if they get this win, they probably feel a little bit better about themselves. They're 3-0, but then they go into a three-game gauntlet that if they drop this one, man, you're talking about licking their wounds before a really tough stretch in their schedule.
So has it been about what you expected then for Leach and Mississippi State when they went out and hired him, you know, for last year?
Yeah, I mean, you expected that it's going to be some growing pains early on. Last year, you know, we crowned them as national champions after what they did to LSU in week one. And then kind of, you know, they got humbled. They came back down to earth a little bit. But the one interesting factor that when you look at what year two has been for Mike Leach at the programs that he's been in, whether it's Texas Tech, whether it's Washington State, year two, it's just an increase in not only production offensively, but also defensively. And I got a chance to know their defensive coordinator pretty well, Zach Arnett, who actually was a defensive coordinator, linebacker coach over at San Diego State for a period of time as well. He brings this 3-3-5 that is attacking, that is aggressive, that is blitzing. They're going to be blitzing from everywhere. So you're going to be like, man, they constantly keep coming. You'll see that throughout the broadcast. But I think that this will be a much improved Mississippi State team. And we'll see what they present for Memphis, which is, like I mentioned, the number one scoring offense, you know, I think, in the country. So right now, I mean, one of the top scoring offenses, I should say, in the country. It's going to be interesting how do they slow this offense down.
We are, of course, talking to Kirk Morrison, longtime Raider linebacker, going to be on the call for ESPN2 for Memphis and Mississippi State. Kirk, man, why has USC had such a hard time figuring it out post Pete Carroll? Like, it's been disastrous, and it was yet again here with Clay Helton just not getting it done. I mean, USC used to be, I think about like when I was a teenager, when I was coming up, like USC was the brand, and mm-hmm. they have really fallen since then. Why has it been so difficult for them?
Oh, man, I got this is kind of a two-part answer, but I could think, because I'm in the state of Tennessee, I could say the same thing about the mm-hmm. Tennessee Volunteers.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
We talk about all these old brands, and everybody's like, oh, man, well, we used to. Well, look, get off my lawn, because that's not what college football is anymore. I think because of now the new NIL, name, image, and likeness, because of the presence of being able to watch television or watch all games. Remember before, you can only watch a couple games a week. Now, it doesn't matter. You can watch every game every Saturday in college football. And I think the glaring thing that I saw, and this was week one, and I remember going through my prep, and I was looking at the starting quarterbacks, and it was like DJ Uiagalelei over at Clemson. JT Daniels over at Georgia, right? Bryce Young over at Alabama, Spencer Rattler over at Oklahoma. And I'm like, these were all Southern California, West Coast quarterbacks. Mm. You know what I mean? Spencer Rattler's right there in Arizona. So to me, he's still close enough to be West Coast if you want to. And all these guys are playing in the SEC and the ACC. And people keep saying, well, what's going on with USC? Because they can't keep quarterbacks in their own hood, right? In their own region. Everybody's leaving. And that's the one of the things that I've seen that has hurt them, is that the consistency at quarterback, to me, hasn't been there outside of Sam Darnold. Keaton Slovis, people are big fans of him. To me, you got to win games, and you don't get beat like you did last week against Stanford. I don't care who you are, quarterback. You can wield your team to victory. But I think overall, too, as well, is, you know, trying to stick with the brand of USC and people who are touching the old, you know, regime of old, like the Pete Carroll. That stuff is now gone. You got to strip this thing down and start it and build it differently. I think that's what USC has in front of them. And I've always said this, you can throw the Luke Fickell names out there. You can throw the Campbells from Iowa State and James Franklin's and all that. But you really got to bring a coach that has star power and can get this thing turned around in a hurry, because it's trust me, I live in Los Angeles, and yes, it is. People are upset, I'll tell you that.
You brought up Tennessee as well, and we're talking about those old brands. Is it the same case, and you need to strip it down to at Florida State, where a guy we know in Mike Norvell has struggled, and we've seen coaches go there? Has the job changed? Can you put the right guy in that spot and it still be as strong a brand as it ever was, or is that a brand that's past its prime?
Well, I think now you have to really rebuild it. And what's hard is that the transfer portal, you know, the minute you take a job, everybody transfers. So now you got to go out and get more transfers, and then you got to, you know, figure out, how do you want to build this program in your eyes? And if you lose one game, I mean, the fan base is upset. The alumni is upset. And you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I stabilize what's going on? You mentioned Norvell. I mean, how tough is it? I mean, I wouldn't – it's a little bit different when you're coaching at Memphis, right?
Than
when you're coaching at Florida State, you know? And so now you realize the pressure that you're under, that, you know, those games that we're talking about right now, for Memphis, you hope to go out and win and take care of business. For Mississippi State, you can't lose to Memphis. That's just the way that things are now in college football, and it brings the scrutiny that comes along with being a head coach. But, you know, just watching these programs now, I just think it's not what we saw 20 years ago. It's not 30 years ago. These brands, blue bloods of college football, are not the same. Alabama has really, you know, resurrected, but there was a period of time where Alabama wasn't Alabama. So it comes and goes, it ebbs and flows, but you know, it's always tough to try to figure out how to get it done without kind of rebuilding the program.
Hey, man, last thing, Kirk, we certainly do appreciate your time. We saw that you were there on Monday for the game, after the game. So, like, I'm looking at this Win Field Club. Is that just like they stay open until, you know, God knows when?
And like VIP?
And you get, like, bottle service all night? Is that how it works?
Man, that's just exactly how it works, man. It is.
Wow.
It's going down all night long. Man. It was interesting. I was doing some post-game works on Monday night, and, you know, here I am about an hour and a half, 2 hours after the game, and I'm looking down on the field, and I keep – first of all, I just kept hearing this music, and I'm saying, where's this music coming from? And I look down, and, yeah, that Win Club is still going. So it is going to truly be an event, a party, all weekend long. The stadium atmosphere was great. It's just different. Like, you know, and I had a chance to go to SoFi Stadium on Sunday night for the Bears and the Rams as well. So two brand new stadiums with fans. Just for me, just you know, my bucket is full, and now to get a chance to go see the Liberty Bowl. You know, think about it.
Bro,
it's going to be a drop off.
I got to be honest. It's a step down, brother. Got to be honest with you.
The pageantry of college football is a bit different.
That's right. So that's right.
That's a nice way to put it.
I am hoping that we do get a couple cowbells snuck in there somewhere, man.
I guarantee you they'll do it.
Right.
They're gonna do it.
By the way,
that's
like
the atmosphere of college football.
Yeah.
That's like you're saying, you know, you have a nice personality, basically. Like the Liberty Bowl, it has a nice personality. Does it look good? No, but it's funny. So yes, absolutely. Hey, Kirk, man,
this is a pleasure.
We appreciate the time as always, man. Welcome to Memphis. Hope you enjoy yourself. Thanks, man.
All right, appreciate it, fellas. Hey, any recommendations on where I should go to dinner tonight?
Yeah, I'm man. I mean,
what do you want? Nice? You
like,
want nice?
That's like, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. Like, yeah, that's like,
we told me Memphis has barbecue. Where do I go get the barbecue? That's all I'm asking.
Well, look, Tops Barbecue. You cannot go wrong with Tops Barbecue.
Sounds good.
Get the
man.
Fireman.
I appreciate the time.
The Fireman
right,
Burger. Yep. Thanks, right, Kirk. Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Okay.
Yeah. He is Kirk Morrison, longtime NFL linebacker, going to be on the call for Memphis and Mississippi State tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Certainly do appreciate his time. I'm looking at this picture, man. It's just like it's a bunch of basically black couches and booths that are on the field.
VIP booths out there.
On the field, and they just stay open for however long. So
now I'm sorry. If I'm Kirk and I get done with my post-game work, I'm going to go there, walk by, and sneak a, at least look an eye in that thing or something.
No
what's
doubt.
Going on, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It looked like it was a good time. Y'all got a club in the stadium.
Yep.
It looks like it's popping until the wee hours of the morning.
Yep.
I got to be honest with
That's
you.
That's so Vegas.
Half of the allure now of the Raiders is that. Like,
I'd say almost all of it is.
That is, I mean, when you got clubs in the place and, ugh.
Now, didn't FedEx have a Forum have a club there for a little while?
Well, you know, just the
didn't Mike own it? Wasn't it Let It Fly?
No, it was
it was like a vodka place or something.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called. But
it was like
they still have. It wasn't a club though, was it?
It was like a Let It Fly lounge, or there was some sort of a bar or a vodka place.
I thought it had reached club status at some point. I could be, you know.
Yeah, the Bud Light lounge.
Not,
it's still
not,
there.
Certainly
I
not the this.
I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah. For a hot second there, lasted a little while.
Yeah, it was like where they do the TV thing.
But I don't hear about it anymore, so I'm figuring that thing's dead. I never got up there.
It's hard with Beale Street right there, you know, because you got those places.
Man, it's going to bother me what the hell that thing was called.
We'll get it. We'll
it
get
was like it. It was like a vodka lounge or something.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Grizzlies have wiped all record of it because you can't find it on Google.
Yeah.
They've done a good job.
Scrubbed.
Didn't Kelly English own it? Maybe it wasn't. Maybe I'm just misremembering stuff.
Yeah.
But I got to figure this out.
They've had a lot of them come through there, you know.
Absolutely. Oh, was it the Lit Lounge?
Lounge.
Man.
That was it.
Yeah, Lit Lounge.
The Lit Lounge.
I told you. And that was a club.
Lit.
And it's not there anymore, is it?
No. That thing, I think it had short lifespan there. Certainly. And not as lit as the Wynn, as the club you got there.
Yeah, they got bottle service out there. Yeah. All right, we will come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.